Well, if you have a Bible with you, perhaps you'll turn back to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 13. If you want to use the one in the pews, it's there on page 516. And we're going to think today, both this morning and this evening, about two parables of the Lord Jesus, two harvest parables. You might know that Jesus was the great parable teacher. As Jesus went about, much of his preaching was in the form of parables. In fact, there were times in his ministry when he didn't preach to people other than in using parables. And one of the features of the ministry of the Lord Jesus are these wonderful parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings. That's perhaps about the best definition of a parable. A parable that has it's an earthly story, but behind the story, there's a deeper meaning. And some of the parables that he told, I guess, are particularly appropriate for a day like today, when we rejoice in the harvest. And so we're going to be thinking this morning about the first parable that's there, that Jesus preaches in verses 3 to 9, and then explains in verses 18 to 23. And then this evening, we're going to, God willing, we're going to look at the next parable that again Jesus preaches in verses 24 to 30. And then he explains in verses 36 to 43. So that's the plan for our Harvest Thanksgiving Day today. And this morning, as we look at this first parable, I just want to do two very simple things. I want us to notice, firstly, the earthly story, but then I want us to notice the heavenly meaning. We shouldn't jump too quickly from the earthly story, because the earthly story reveals wonderful things about God in and of itself. So let's look at this earthly story. It's the story of a sower. It's the story of a sower who goes out to sow. And as he sows, he casts his seeds liberally all around whatever patch of land, I guess, belonged to him. He didn't just go to the best bits of the land. He cast his seed wherever he went. And if you've been to the Mediterranean, particularly if you've been to Israel, you'll know how the land there can be very rocky, can be very thorny, how it gets very dry during the summer, and so the land can get very hard. And so we're perhaps not surprised at the result of what this sower does with his seed. And in verses 3 to 9, we read about four different types of soil on which the seed lands. And in fact, it's only the fourth type of soil. It's only that last section, as it were, of his land that actually produces any fruits, because patch one, as it were, the first type of soil, the seed is snatched away, the land is too hard. Maybe there's a path there and some of the seed has landed on the path and the birds have come and snatched it away. And then the second type of soil, the stony places, well, there's no fruit comes from there. Then there's the thorny places, and there's no fruit comes from there, but there is some good soil at the end. And from there, a crop grows, and a crop one day is harvested. And the sower, the farmer, enjoys the fruit of his labors at the end of the day. Now, that's a very familiar tale, isn't it? There's nothing, in a sense, difficult about that. Jesus' first century hearers would have understood it. In fact, it's quite possible. We can't prove it. Jesus was preaching in the open air, wasn't he? He's down by the side of Galilee, and there were such big crowds, he has to get into a boat. And he has to go out a few yards, as it were, onto the lake. And he preaches from there, doesn't he? And so the crowds are around. And it's perfectly possible, perhaps, that over on the hillside, there was a sower casting his seed on the ground. Maybe Jesus was using the picture that was around him. Maybe that was happening. It's a familiar picture, isn't it? But it's also a miraculous picture, isn't it? We forget just how miraculous this event really is. So here is the sower. And in his hand, he has seeds. And you know, you've had seeds in your own hands. And they look shriveled. And they look small. And they look dead. And as you look at those seeds, you think, it's impossible. Impossible for anything good to come from these things. And yet, as the sower sows, he sows confident that those seeds will produce fruit, that those seeds won't remain dry, scrunched up, dead-looking things, but from them will grow the most amazing things. Now, why is that? Why does he have that confidence? Why is it that that happens? Why is it that it still happens today? As you look around, as we look at the wonderful produce that we have here, and yes, for the sake of the food bank and so on, we haven't got a huge amount of fresh produce like in a traditional harvest, but it's all there. It's in the tins. It's there in the packets. We see these things, don't we? And they've all come, haven't they, from a seed. Whether it's the fruit, whether it's the vegetables, whether it's the flowers that decorate the chapel so beautifully this morning. They come from a seed, don't they? Now, why is that? Well, you see, it's because of God. It's because of God's goodness. It's because of God's grace. Because of God's creating power. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Go to those first chapters when God speaks the world into being. And when he speaks the plants into being. Even within those verses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be good. You see how God's designed it, how God has designed this world to work in the way that he determines. And here we are again this morning giving thanks to God because seed time has become harvest. And you see, it's not just because he's the creator God, but it's also because he is the gracious, sustaining God, isn't he? We read those verses from a few chapters on in Genesis chapter 8. Oh, a lot's happened between Genesis 1 and Genesis 8. Sin has come into the world through Adam and Eve, through their disobedience to God's commands. And judgment has come not just on Adam and Eve, but as sin has spread across the world, God's judgment has fallen upon the world. And in chapter 6 and chapter 7, we read about that tremendous flood that wiped out all of humanity except for Noah and his family. And who wiped out so much of creation. And then God starts again, doesn't he? And even at that moment, that moment when God's judgment has fallen upon men and women and upon our world, God makes the same promise every year until while the earth remains, there's going to be summer and winter, and there's going to be day and night, and there's going to be cold and heat, and there's going to be springtime, and there's going to be harvest, seed time and harvest. And you see, that's why the sower is sowing the seed in the way that he is. Because God has promised. Because God has determined. And you see, we're here this morning because God has kept his promise. Because creation has worked as God intended it to do. And so as we come together, we are right. And not just to thank those who provide the food for us. The farmers and the retailers and the distributors and so on. But it's good for us to add our voices in praise to God and say all good things around us are sent from heaven above. Thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for for all his love. I trust we've come with that this morning. I trust there is something about us every day of our lives, every meal that we enjoy, every good thing about our world that brings us pleasure. I trust there's something in us that says, thank you, God. Thank you for making this world as it is. Thank you for devising and creating this world to work in such a wonderful way. Thank you for your grace and your providence, year by year, meeting our needs, supplying all that we stand in need of. The earthly story itself is an amazing thing, and it should cause us to rejoice and to give thanks to God. But you see, ultimately, Jesus didn't just tell this as an earthly story. Jesus didn't come to be a raconteur. He didn't come to be a great storyteller. No, he was a great storyteller. Nobody preached like Jesus did. He was so different to all of the religious leaders of the day. And people who came to him, even the little children, they loved to listen to him. He was a great storyteller. We think of the great storytellers who were around today, and perhaps we love to sit and listen to them on the radio or on YouTube or whatever, and they have a wonderful way of telling a story. Nobody told a story like the Lord Jesus did. But he didn't come to be a storyteller. He came to tell us about the kingdom of God. Because you see, this parable ultimately isn't about life in this world. Oh yes, it's an earthly story. It's a story that we can all associate ourselves with, and it's easy to understand, isn't it? But it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story about the kingdom. You see, these parables are parables of the kingdom. As we read through chapter 13 of Matthew, and if you've got time this afternoon, read through all of the chapter. Excuse me. And as you read through, you'll see the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. You see, my friends, it's great to focus on these things today, on the good things, excuse me, that the earth produces. But there's another kingdom. There's another realm. Excuse me. There's another domain. Jesus came to bring in another kingdom, to preach about another kingdom, to speak about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of God. Jesus came because you and I need, in a sense, to be torn away from the things of this world because we need a relationship with God. And you see, ultimately, this story, as the explanation we read a little bit later in the chapter confirms, is actually not about this world. It's about the next world. It's not about the things of time and of material and of space, but it's about things of eternity, about heaven, about hell, about the eternal realities. And the story, we're not left in any doubt as to how to interpret the story. Some of the parables of the Lord Jesus are not easy to interpret. And if you go to a Bible college like I used to teach, there are rows and rows of books that all sorts of different people have written about parables and how to understand them and how to preach them and how to get the truths out that Jesus really wanted. Well, this parable, Jesus explains for us, doesn't he? And he tells us what the story is about. And the story ultimately is about how we receive the word of God. Now that makes it relevant for us, doesn't it? Because here this morning, you are hearing God's word read and proclaimed. I trust you're hearing God's word explained and amplified. And I trust that as the preacher preaches and as the word of God is read, you're seeing things from the word of God. But you see, that's what this story is about. It's about how we hear the word of God. You see, the sower who sows the seed is the preacher who preaches the word of God. So, in a sense, when a man stands in this pulpit on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, that's what he's doing. He's casting the seed out. And just like the sower in the earthly story, the seed lands on different grounds. So, as the word is preached, the seed lands in different hearts and on different people and in people who respond in different ways. And that's what Jesus tells us. Look at verses 18, 19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When someone hears the word, listen, of the kingdom. See, Jesus is telling us about the kingdom. He's telling us about the kingdom of God. He's telling us about life after this world. He's telling us about heaven. He's telling us about the new earth under the new heavens that one day God's people will enjoy. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. That first bit of land in the earthly story. The seed lands on the dry and the hard ground and it's snatched away and it never takes root. Do you know that happens Sunday by Sunday in churches all over the world? And it's happened in this church, Sunday by Sunday, for hundreds of years. But God's word goes forth, and we're not listening. And the word doesn't make an impact upon us. It's almost as if some people are coated with spiritual Teflon. You know how it is? You've got a saucepan or a frying pan, and it's got Teflon on it. And nothing sticks. It's so easy to wash, isn't it? Because nothing sticks to it. You know, there are people sometimes who seem to be covered in spiritual Teflon. God's word never makes an impact. Perhaps they don't want it to make an impact. Perhaps they just want to sit through the 20 minutes, 30 minutes of the sermon and then get out. Go back to all the lovely things that they enjoy about a Sunday or they enjoy about their lives. We can be like that, Jesus says. But you see, what we're dealing with is the kingdom of heaven. What we're dealing with is everlasting life. What we're dealing with is forgiveness of sins. What we're dealing with is the possibility of a relationship with the living God. And as the word of God goes forth, how awful it would be if that just bounces off you or if you allow it just to be snatched away. Are you like that? Is that how you are here this morning? The seed of the word of God has landed and just bounced off you. Then there's a second type of person. In fact, we could consider the second and the third type of person together in a sense. You see it there in verse 20. He who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the words, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, what's the heavenly story there? What's the heavenly meaning there? Well, some of us can hear God's word, and it has a short-term effect on us. In a sense, we go away better than we came. We might actually enjoy hearing the preaching of the words. It might have a short-term impact on us. We might like to come and hear the stories of Jesus. And there's something that resonates in our mind about it, perhaps. And that's why we're here this morning, maybe, because we know it does us good and we feel better as a result of it. But the question that the parable leaves us with is it just a short-term thing? You see here, it could be times of tribulation or it could be times of persecution. You know, church is okay for Sunday, but I'm not going to let on tomorrow in work that I was in church today or that I read my Bible or that I'm considering Christian things because I'll just get mocked. I'll just get laughed at. Or verse 22. those who receive the seed amongst the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, there are much more important things in my life than the word of the kingdom, the word of the gospel. And so, yes, I'll hear the preacher on a Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, oh, I'm going to be the same person as I was. There are so many other things that are much more important. My friends, we're talking about heaven. We're talking about life with God. We're talking about everlasting life. But then, finally, there is this good ground. You notice it. It was there at the end of the earthly story, wasn't it? You know, not all of the seeds ended up not producing fruit. Some of it fell in good ground. Some of it fell in the soil. Some of it achieved what the sower of the seed had intended it to do. And the result of that was the crop. And in some places there was a crop of 100-fold. And in some places there was a crop of 60-fold. Some places there was a crop of 30-fold. But there was fruit. There was evidence of life. There was evidence that the seed had done its work. And as a result, there was something that was beautiful to see. And something that we were able to enjoy. And you see, Jesus says, that's what God's word needs to do to our hearts. So when we hear God's word, as the seed is scattered amongst us, Sunday by Sunday, there should be fruit. It should change us. It should lead in our lives to evidence that there is life there. You see, that seed that looks dead, that looks shriveled, that looks dry, that looks as if it'll do no good, is actually able to give life. It has within it the essence of life. And you see, my friends, the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel, that God so loved men and women that he gave his only begotten son, that Jesus came into this world and lived amongst us, went about doing good, went about healing the sick, went about preaching these great parables, pointing people to the kingdom of heaven. This Jesus died upon a cross to bear the sins of everybody who would trust in him. And that this Jesus rose from the grave and lives eternally in heaven, from where one day he's going to return. We'll think a little bit about that this evening as we look at the next parable. This message needs to transform our lives. It's no good this message bouncing off us. It's no good this message just having a short-term impact. This message needs to produce fruit in our lives. It needs to produce those fruits of faith and of repentance and those fruits of the Spirit that Paul speaks about in one of his letters. There needs to be evidence of life so that we can see that the Word of God has made its impact upon our hearts. So yes, this morning, we thank God for the earthly story. We thank God for seed time and harvest. We thank God that he's been faithful to his promise for another year. But if you've been sitting under the word of God for another year, what type of soil are you? Are you the hard, unproductive soil? Are you the stony soil? Are you the thorny soil? Or is there wonderful evidence in your life that God is at work and the seed has entered your heart and your life is producing fruit as a glorious result? May it be, by God's grace, that that's where each and every one of us are found today and until that day.